From the Christian Research Institute in Charlotte, North Carolina, this is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. On today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man, we pick up where we ended on our previous broadcast and present more of the pre-recorded 100th episode of the Hank Unplugged podcast. Hank is talking with K.P. Yohannan, author of Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation. Let's now join Hank Hanegraaff and K.P. Yohannan in their conversation.
What you believe, not only about what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians, but what we read in the book of Acts, you believe that that is relevant. In fact, not only relevant, it is the blueprint by which we ought to do missions. And even more than that, it is the blueprint by which we are to live our lives. And so if you really want to understand what our legacy ought to be, not only in terms of our personal lives as we stand before the Lord, but the legacy we leave in terms of reaching the world, you say, read Acts, and read it again, and read it again, and read it again, in much the same fashion that when you were going through your own anguish, you kept reading 2 Corinthians.
Well, you know, Hank, I don't know if people ever ask the question, why Jesus had to live on earth 33 and a half years before he would go to the cross. I mean, he was Almighty God from his inception, when he was 1 year old, 2 year old, 10 year old, 12 year old, and he was perfect, Almighty God, sinless. He could have gone to the cross when he was 15 or 20. Why wait till 33 and a half years? The answer I can tell you is in Hebrews. It says he learned obedience through suffering. Jesus had the Almighty God, his will, the same time he had a human will, and he submitted his God will to the perfect man will and listen to only to the Father and do nothing of his own. So he said a million times, I do nothing of my own. I say nothing of my own. I only do what my Father tells me. And that was the Father's will, that he, as a man in flesh, learn what it means to say no to himself continually, and finally he choose to lay down his life on the cross. And I say to people everywhere, if you know this Jesus, he obeyed his Father, and Jesus said, I send you as my Father sent me. So what is the evidence of our being linked with the Father, the Holy Trinity? It is the passion for a world that do not know the Father's love and dying without him. And people don't realize every single day, every time your heart beat, one or more people are dying having never heard the name Jesus. Nearly 3 billion people live in our generation that never heard Jesus' name, especially in the 1040 window region, like Indian subcontinent and part of Africa and all that. And here is my thinking. How can you go by a house when the house is on flame and 15 people in the house, they're all going to burn to death, and you walk by, you know, whistling and singing a nice, comfortable song? No, you'll be screaming on the top of your lungs saying, please wake up, these people are dying, come, please help. And that is what St. Paul was doing. So when I say people read the book of Acts, you find people who came to know Christ and became part of the Holy Church. Within days, they were beaten up, persecuted, driven out from their homes. And the Bible says they went everywhere. They went not weeping and mourning about what they lost, but preaching the gospel. A church, as you said to me one time, without compassion and a mission for the Lord, Great Commission, is a contradiction. This is the reason why many of our churches do not understand. While they understand the truth, they don't understand life is missing, and life only comes when we have the legs to walk on, and the legs are the book of Acts. Praying, giving, going, sending, like my mother did, six sons, she prayed, fasting, and crying out to God, one of my sons, oh God, please call him to serve you and serve the Holy Church. And I think the church at large, especially in our world of conservative Orthodox beliefs, they are missing the most important teaching of Christ, that is, go to those that do not know. You know, 99 sheep was in the fold, one was lost, and the shepherd left the 99 in the fold and went out searching for the one until he found it. But Hank, now one is in the fold, 99 out there, having never heard the first Christmas story. Why our churches, why our priests, why our leaders don't have a broken heart? When 100,000 people die in Bangladesh overnight in the tidal wave, millions are walking around without help. They are people God made in His image. How come our pastors, our priests, and our leaders go to bed that night as though nothing happened? Why the following Sunday there is no weeping and tears and prayer for these people? And I'm telling you, we don't understand. Jesus is not sitting up in heaven. He's among us weeping for us to be His body, to go, to give and suffer, that others may come to know Him. And that is the real church and the evidence of pure church.
When you're talking, one of the things that occurred to me, KP, is that you have learned, you have been a learner in the classroom of life, and you talk about that and never give up as well. In other words, later on in your ministry, you started to see that the church is the epicenter of the universe, that everything has to revolve around the church, that when people come to faith in Christ, they don't come as Lone Ranger Christians. They have to be baptized. They have to be chrismated. They have to partake of the graces that are available within the context of the church. And as a result of that, you changed your entire ministry focus. You're already very successful as a ministry outreach, but you were willing to change. And when you changed, you paid a price. I did the same thing. When I wrote my book, Truth Matters, Life Matters More, because I was on a journey, that cost me hundreds of radio outlets. But you, as I, are willing to follow truth wherever it leads and then leave the results up to the Lord. So I want you to talk about that a little bit, because you made an epic change in your ministry to make the church the center of your missions.
Well, Hank, just imagine a multi-billionaire who kind of became more famous than president of a country or whatever. And finally, he goes to the doctor, and the most brilliant doctor do all the tests and then come to him privately and whisper in his ear, "I just don't know what to tell you, but you just got 2 weeks to live. This is too late." All of a sudden, the multi-billionaire, he is willing to give away his billions if he could find answer to live, to find cure. And somehow God in His mercy, and I say that very seriously, when I have written 200 books and possibly our mission became the largest mission, evangelical Protestant mission in the world, with 15,000-20,000 full-time workers and all this stuff going on. And honestly, and I still drove 1962 Volkswagen Bug and live just meeting my basic needs and nothing more I wanted for my life. But it was during this crisis of my faith, the darkest night, where I said, someday I'm going to meet this God, but I don't know Him. And this is where my journey began 17 years ago, understanding the Holy Church. And I used to be hypercritical of Catholics and so many people who say, you cannot be saved, you cannot understand God without the Holy Church. And I just couldn't figure this out, although I had the Orthodox background. But then I realized, Ephesians 4, that I can become like Jesus, the deification, the partaking of his nature, the theosis, in the local church. That is the reason why the teachers and instructors are given. And all this became so new to me. And that's where I began to think about our mission work and what I'm doing. And I knew very well for me to declare what has happened to me. And of course, you know, we had now, you know, a couple of, you know, million people that have come to know the Lord, and things were changing so fast. And I was asked to be the consecrated bishop of the church and everything, and I just didn't want to do it, and I went through the crisis.
Don't go away. In just a few moments, we'll rejoin Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with K.P. Yohannan. God, where are you? Have you ever found yourself asking that question? Such was the case for K.P. Yohannan as he walked through what he calls a forest fire of grief and pain. In his new book, Never Give Up, he tells his sincerely vulnerable story, detailing years of struggle and discovery that we know will give you strength to endure your own difficulties. K.P. Yohannan challenges his readers to pursue God in Christ and make the most of every moment of time we have here on earth. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches during the financially critical month of June. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
We've seen good times and hard times, but nothing quite like these times. The consequences of the coronavirus pandemic and massive urban unrest have been nothing short of shocking. In such times, people desperately need hope and courage. God brings certain books and people into our lives precisely when we need them. Never Give Up is one of those books, and K.P. Yohannan is one of those people. Through times of trial, we come to know what it truly means to know Christ. Simply put, Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation, is the perfect book for this precise moment in history. To receive your copy of Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation, Call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Let's rejoin Hank Hanegraaff and K.P. Yohannan as they continue their conversation.
I used to be hypercritical of Catholics and so many people who say, you cannot be saved, you cannot understand God without the Holy Church, and I just couldn't figure this out. Then I realized, Ephesians 4, that I can become like Jesus, the deification, the partaking of his nature, the theosis, in the local church. And all this became so new to me. And that's where I began to think about our mission work and what I'm doing. And I knew very well for me to declare what has happened to me. And of course, you know, we had now a couple of million people that have come to know the Lord, and things were changing so fast. And I was asked to be the consecrated bishop of the church and everything, and I just didn't want to do it, and I went through the crisis. But then that's what actually plunged me to understand or think about the church, what is the seriousness of it. And I just went through huge crisis, Hank, knowing that I was on nearly 1,000 radio stations throughout the United States and Europe and everywhere, and all kind of stuff going on, and I was going to be crucified. But I said to myself, like I told the illustration of the billionaire, I said, I just got a few more years left. What do I want? Opinion and reputation of people. And one of the things the Lord would ask me, do you want to die? Are you willing to die to your reputation and give up all for my sake and for my church? And I would say, yes, Lord, I am. But I didn't understand what that all meant. All of a sudden, hundreds of radio stations dropped us from my radio program, Road to Reality, and thousands of people dropped supporting us as evil people began to write horrible stories about us, which is never true. And so many Christian leaders that I became their mentor and guide, they vanished, couldn't say a word to me. But in all this, I found the beauty of partaking of the Eucharist and having Jesus real. And I understood that there's no sense in me planting thousands of congregations or churches and have all these bishops and everything unless we understand the authentic church. Because people gathering and clapping hands and doing all kind of things is like TED Talk or whatever else is not church. And that is where I understood the mystery of the Holy Church and the worship. And I found it was not information but experience. And this reason why, by the way, I do a lots of radio interviews and stuff everywhere. And I don't think I have done any interviews since your book came out where I would not mention to people, there's no reference to what I'm talking about maybe, but I will tell them, by the way, something that changed my life is the reading of hundreds and hundreds of books from the early church fathers and all that. But there is one book that I think is better than any other book. Truth Matters, Life Matters More. And I plead with people to get a copy, whatever means, and read it. If they can't, let me know. Because I really think, Hank, honestly, when I first read this book, I didn't fully get it. But second time I read it, now I'm telling every human being I can talk to day and night, please read this book for your sake, because life here on earth is not going to be forever. You need to know something more than truth. So I terribly excited and appreciate your willingness to put this book in writing and people to read it. And I pray that, you know, in heaven, there is no wife and husband and children, grandchildren, nothing. The only thing matters is that Jesus and the Holy Trinity, and people need to be sober-minded about that, because the coronavirus should teach all of us. We have no guarantee about tomorrow. It's better to know him and sacrifice everything in the world to be his. And that's what this book is all about that you wrote. And of course, you know, in my book, Never Give Up, I talk about my journey, which actually explained very well in terms of truth and life in your book.
You know, one of the things, and by the way, thank you so much for those kind words about Truth Matters, Life Matters More. And I know that you wrote a letter and sent it out to pastors all over the world to get this book, but it's humbling that you would do that. And I feel the same way about your writings and certainly about your ministry. But I want to go back to something you were talking about earlier, KP. You were talking about, in your book, you write about it as well, you're talking about going back to the early church. And I thought there was a powerful analogy in your book, Never Give Up, about how important it is to go back to the place where the stream is not polluted. And you use this illustration of being a kid and jumping into the river with your friends, and you could see the bottom, but now you go back to that same river and it's polluted. But maybe you should tell the illustration. I mean, it's beautiful when you go back to the beginning, to the genesis of that river, it's clear and crystal. And that's the same thing you use as an analogy for going back to when the church was young.
You know, Hank, I'm so glad you brought it up because really, you know, it's an emotional thing with me because this was one of the things in my journey to understand the holiness and the mystery of the Holy Church the Lord used in one of my week of silence and prayer helped me to go back, kind of regressing as a tiny boy growing up by this river. And we have, you know, hundreds of coconut trees. They are tall, and many of these coconut trees grow leaning toward the river. And the river is still there. And I remember as a 3-4-year-old little kid, we used to climb on these leaning over the river coconut trees and just get about, you know, 10 meters, 20 meters into, you know, halfway to the tree, and then we jump into the river. But here's the funny thing. From the tree, we could see the bottom of the river. I mean, you're talking about 30, 40 feet or 20 feet, so clear sand, crystal clear water. And we used to swim, and that's my life was, you know, growing up in that village. But 30, 40 years would go by. I still go to my village once in a while to visit there. That river, Hank, you will not want to wash your hands in it. You don't want to swim in it. It is so dark, so polluted, because those days when I was growing up, there were no houses on both sides of the river as it is now. Now there are thousands, and people dump all the dirt and stuff into the river, and it's totally polluted. But one time I talked about it to someone, and they said, you know what, this river starts not here. It starts on the foothills, and they explain about the mountain ranges where the river starts. And they explained to me that if you go there, still the water is pure as crystal glass, and trees grows very beautiful there, and plants in the river and all those things. And the Lord reminded me of that during my search and said, son, what's happening? Over the period of thousands of years, people have thrown in their man-made doctrines and interpretations and subjective reasoning. And particularly, I would say, as a student of church history, it all began in 15th, 16th century, the reason-based theology that caused so much damage to the church, that the fear of God completely missing. And a preacher who wears jeans with holes in it runs back and forth with flashing lights and all the neons and all those things. And, you know, people think obedience to God is the mark of spirituality. I say, no, that is the beginning. But fear of God is understanding who God is. And that's what happened in the life of Abraham. So today, the church at large, I'm not talking about church in America or Europe or anywhere. I mean, in Europe, you know, I was there in England a few months ago. Every week, Hank, one church is sold to Hindus or Muslims or bars, and they're closing down those churches. And, you know, what is a holy church? The audience is not the preacher. For 1500 years, there was no pulpit for the man to be brilliant and the music group and the band and all that. It is not entertainment. God is the audience. And the altar was the center where people gathered around to partake of the invisible Christ who now represented or in the Eucharist. These things are now false teaching for the modern church. And I think if anyone care about eternity, and I have the statement I make all the time, please live in the light of eternity. Fear God, because no one is going to support you, and you don't care about the millions you make now or the aeroplanes. No, it is too serious. And Jesus is coming back for his bride.
Well, we've run out of time for today's special edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Be sure to tune in again next time when we'll continue Hank Hanegraaff's conversation with K.P. Yohannan. In appreciation for your vital gift to help strengthen and expand the life-changing outreaches of the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you K.P. Yohannan's book, Never Give Up, The Story of a Broken Man Impacting a Generation. Simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches during the financially critical month of June. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. That's equip.org. You can also write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because truth matters and life matters more. Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal, just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org.